Blog Talk Radio.
Executive producer for Victorious Radio and Communications, LLC. I'd like to thank you for joining us here on our forum tonight. Victorious Radio has a mission to provide a trusted source of information, music, and entertainment for curious and thoughtful people in efficient, sustainable ways that meet their needs while strengthening the civic and cultural life of the communities in which we serve. Our vision is to be a valued, vital, vibrant, and victorious service that is indispensable to listeners' lives, inspires people to look at the world in different ways, and capitalizes on emerging opportunities to serve our listeners and communities. If you would like to listen by computer, please feel free to join our chat room by logging into our Blog Talk link, www.blogtalkradio.com/Victorious Radio Communications. And of course, you may contact us by phone. Our Blog Talk call and discussion number is 347-855-8877. If at any time you would like to address the forum, please press the number 1 and we'll allow you in. So let's start with the month of February. Did you know that February was known for the following commencements, holidays, and awareness causes? February 1st, National Freedom Day. February 2nd, traditional good old Groundhog Day. I don't know what that groundhog told us for winter. It's very interesting, but the holiday has been here and gone. February 4th, a personal favorite of mine is Rosa Parks Day. That is actually her birthday, and it is locally recognized in certain parts of the United States. February 5th is National Rare Red Day. February 8th is the beginning of the Chinese New Year. February 9th is Mardi Gras, and I think it's called Shrove Tuesday, and you're supposed to eat a whole bunch of pancakes in preparation for the holiday from where it dates way, way back. I got a bunch of really odd facts and information, but it leads right into February 10th, which was yesterday. That's Ash Wednesday. And ironically, the two celebrations are combined. So we'll talk about that during another show. February 12th is Lincoln's birthday. February 14th, snuggle with your sweetheart because it's Valentine's Day. Also, in the state of Arizona, on February 4th, is Statehood Day. February 15th is President's Day, so be advised, because if you're trying to fix your house up or buy appliances and tools and stuff, it's tax-free. So it's tax-free on February 15th. February 15th is also Susan B. Anthony's birthday. And this year, as life would have it, it's leap year, so we will have a February 29th, which only comes every 4 years. Tonight, I have to be very honest. I am so excited about tonight's guest. This is a person who was not just earmarked for my public relations specialist. This is a person that I've had the privilege and honor of working with, who has personally helped me with my business, with my brand, with my personal vision. I mean, this woman that we have here tonight is on fire and has it going on. Entrepreneur and visionary Sade Dennis is a sought-after professional in high demand who brings passion and creative excellence to everything she puts her hands to. Inspired by the parable of talents, Sade makes it her life's purpose to pursue everything God has called her to do. Sade works with entrepreneurs, professionals, and individuals seeking a more purposeful life and business. Sade has made impacts with amazing clients such as The Oprah Magazine, PBS, Goodwill Industries, The Washington Post, Washington Magazine, TV One, Black Entertainment Television, also known as BET, Black MBA Magazine, Zondervan, Essence Communications, and I can't leave it off, Victorious Radio and Communications. Sade is at the helm of her developing the brands and image of high-profile and influential leaders in business and politics with her expertise in marketing and branding communications. From branding, photography, communications, and image consulting, Sade brings out the best in every client she works with. Sade is a senior consultant for the Gatsby Group and McMillian Communications. She also was featured panelist at Bowie State University's MMPA conference, where she spoke about why diversity in marketing is necessary. Sade is also a gifted artist specializing in mixed media and abstract art. Her work has been a numerous juried exhibitions, including the prestigious Charles Sumner Museum. Sade holds a business administration degree, as well as a master's degree in management with a marketing emphasis. Sade lives in Washington, D.C., the Washington, D.C. suburbs, with her husband, Charles, and their three beautiful children. It is with great honor and excitement that I bring forth to you tonight, entrepreneur and visionary extraordinaire, Sade Dennis.
Well, thank you.
And I cannot thank you enough for gracing us with your presence here on our forum. How are you?
I am well. I'm really good, and I've just been really enjoying the show. First of all, I was jamming out to the intro. I love Tina Marie, and I was having a party for one as I jammed away, and just hearing about all the exciting things that that you guys are doing, and I'm really, really happy to be here with you guys.
Well, thank you so much. Before I go any further, I really have to emphasize and testify to the quality of Sade's work. If you know me and you know me personally, all of my profile photos now posted are as a courtesy of Sade Dennis. She did my makeup. She did my photography. She's awesome. She also had a very, very strong influence in the changes and upgrades that were made to this radio station, including but not limited to our ability to move through TV productions. And we are working ginormously on some projects that, were just strongly inspired by the coaching and consulting that I have received from her personally. So I'm going to say it. Look her up. And we haven't even gotten into the interview. But Sade, before we get into all of your wonderful talents and the things that you have going on, here's a time where we do what's called fun facts. And, you know, what I aim to do here is to have you share something special and unique about Sade. And at this moment, you know, it's a way to get the listeners to understand how wonderful your accomplishments are, but also understand that at the end of the day, you're a woman or a regular person just like the listeners. So if you could share with us anything, it could be as conservative or outlandish that you'd like.
Well, let's see here. I would say something that I know or I hope may resonate with your listeners, certainly something that I enjoy doing. I would say that I love watching Discovery ID. I love crime shows, and I'm telling you, I am an amateur investigator. I'm telling you, not only that, but I enjoy I want to say the DNA, but basically the forensics. I'm telling you, I am a junior forensic investigator, along with a junior, I would say psychologist. I just love to see how things layer up and what have, and it is certainly my guilty pleasure. That along with, let's see what else, I just enjoy when I have the time to sit back and watch a good marathon of shows, you know, because I love on-demand programming because I never get to watch anything when it's actually on. I mean, so if any of your listeners who have kids of really all ages, but certainly little kids, know that it's hard getting to your favorite show. And so if they offer it as a marathon on, like, streaming services or even on TV, if you can catch a marathon, that's what I love. And I have been known to watch shows like 48 Hours and Dateline on YouTube. Because, like, YouTube has the stuff on it, too. So, yeah, that's just a little something for people to know. If you don't find your show, when it's on, you can always find it on Netflix. You might be able to find it on YouTube. And I love doing it.
Duly noted.
Yes.
That is amazing. And I'm going to say this definitely as a compliment. I could see how that could fit with your professional personality, because you are very detail-oriented and observant, and, you know, I think that just makes so much sense. But how cool. You rock, okay?
Oh, thank you. I enjoy it. I mean, it's fascinating to just study people and, you know, I don't know, I just kind of like to put the pieces together a little bit. I guess seeing how all of the pieces all fit within you know, like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoy it. And I would say it definitely has added to my business, like the methodical aspects of it all.
Well, my experience with you, before I get into the interview questions, you were awesome with my makeup. You were awesome with my hair, and making it compliment, along with, you know, the photos. And I know this is one small aspect of the great things that you do, but helping me, you pulled my personality out in those photos. And not everyone can do that. And I am a plus-size person, although I'm photogenic. But everybody does not know how to take – they don't know how to take pictures of different sizes or shapes. I referred someone else to you who said she was just phenomenal because she knew how to do the angles, and you pulled her personality, and they were totally different. And, you know, you are amazing in that area.
Well, I'm really happy that you said that, you know, because people tell me, oh, you know, I'm uncomfortable – you know, in front of the camera, or I'm uncomfortable in front of a mic. And again, it isn't that everybody is going to be in front of the camera or on a mic, but I will say this, everybody has something to offer. So, for instance, if people who are professionals, excuse me, or anybody that may be out in the forefront, and I'm talking about if you're the PTA president, I'm talking about if you're the store manager at the local grocery store, you may be photographed, okay, because there's newsletters, there's, you know, local news and press and what have you. And so you better get in line with the fact that you may be seen. So why not practice? Why not, you know, be prepared? Because I cannot tell you the amount of times in the past, I mean, years ago, where I'd show up in just random, you know, church newsletters. And I'm telling you, I didn't feel that I looked my best. And it wasn't that I looked bad, but I just wasn't prepared, and I didn't have the confidence in front of the camera. And so I really made it my business to work at it. So everything from, like, the angles, you know, that you mentioned, certain colors to wear, and all of that. I mean, and as a woman, I mean, let's face it, life happens. And so whether or not we're losing pounds or we're gaining pounds, there's certain things that we can do to really minimize the impact and really be able to work our stuff, work our curves. So angling, learning how to pivot, all those kinds of things. Because, I mean, let's face it, if I have an interview or if I have something I need to do, whether it be a workshop or keynote, I'm not losing weight in overnight. You know, I'm not going to lose, you know, these 20 pounds that I want to lose overnight or in a week. So instead of trying to go on these crash diets, you better learn how to work what you have. And that comes in from, again, what you have on, having the confidence to still hold those shoulders back, know how to get into position and work what you have and present yourself the best way and be who you are no matter what. And so it's a particular skill set. And so for those of us who may not have it naturally, it can be taught. I mean, you can be the best you can be. And as they say, kind of get into position. And I don't want to know, I don't necessarily want to say fake it till you make it, but face it till you make it. To have the confidence to know, wait a minute, these people are calling me in, whether I am the manager at the grocery store, whether I am the PTA president, whether I'm the CEO of a company, I have expertise. I have the knowledge that people want. If you're going on a job interview, you know, people have called you in because they feel like you might be the person for a particular role, and you got to go in there. You got to be confident and know how to work yourself. So now that those skill sets also translate in front of the camera. And so for those folks who say, well, you know, I'm not comfortable in front of the camera, it's probably because they've had a bad experience. They've had a bad experience where they didn't know how to really pose, or perhaps a photographer may not have really understood how to really work the angles or, you know, work the lighting or any of that. I mean, and how many of us know, especially first women, if you don't want our hair sticking up, okay, we don't want our makeup smudged. And so just from even a standpoint as a woman, and I'm not saying men photographers can't do this because I've seen some that really can, but I know I don't want to be photographed with my hair sticking up. You know, if I have lipstick on my teeth, I want somebody to tell me. So, I mean, I come from that perspective that I know what I expect. And oftentimes what the camera sees may be different than what you see in the mirror. And I think my job is to make sure that, first of all, my folks are comfortable, and second of all, that they that what's translating is what I see, okay? And so even whether I'm behind the camera or I'm consulting on a photo shoot, I mean, there's been so many shoots that I'm not the person behind the camera, where I'm there as a consultant, where I'm there with my client, whether, you know, it's for a shoot for O Magazine or for the Washington Post, where I'm there and I'm just with my client advising, you know, giving her that moral support, okay, and helping her pose and working along with the photographer and the stylist there and even the makeup artist there, okay, and saying, you know, these are this person's best colors, and they're really giving that person that moral support and coaching them, okay, coaching them. And I cannot tell you, even folks who are adept and accustomed to being in front of audiences may not feel comfortable in front of a video camera, okay, because this is a virtual audience. This may be an audience. They may see this, they may consume this content later. And having this camera in front of them is a new, it may be new, maybe a little different. And so helping them project what I see, having the opportunity to hear them and see them and how passionate they are, and seeing this camera turn on and it freeze up, I'm like, wait a minute, this is not you. You know, I know that people want to see what I see. And my job is to bring that out, whether it be on print or in video, or even live. I'm like, if you're animated, if you're passionate and all of that, if you are very expressive and you use your arms and your hands to talk, and then you get in front of an audience or you get in front of a camera and we don't see that, like, wait a minute, you know. So my job is to really bring that out, and that's what I do. That's what I do. So, you know, I want people to see the greatness that I see in my clients.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask this question, although I think you kind of answered it in some of the many talents that you just described. But for those who may be wondering, could you define exactly what a lifestyle and branding coach is? And as you've kind of stated, but describe a little bit about the audience in which you cater to. Because what you said, I mean, you mentioned the PTA, you mentioned the store manager, you've mentioned the entrepreneur, the homeowners association, but just people with different roles. So being a lifestyle branding coach, it sounds like you're very mm-hmm. open to all kinds of people. But I'd like for you to define that just a little bit for our audience listening.
Sure, absolutely. Basically, what a lifestyle and branding coach does is that we help people, first of all, have more purpose in their life and their business and help them to develop the life and the business that they want. Many times we hear about work-life balance, right, and kind of have the career, the business you want, and the lifestyle. I mean, really, when it's all said and done, we're one person, right? We are one entity. And so if one aspect is not cracking, lacking like it needs to be, okay, the others won't as well. So I like to think about it as an integrated approach. I mean, I have little kids. And so oftentimes if I'm doing work or doing a video, something like that, and if they're home, either you might hear them, you may even see them. And so I realize it's all about lifestyle, everything from how my office is designed. We have a decent-sized home, but, I mean, it's not a mansion. Okay, so I have to make sure that I design my space in a way that works for me. So how I have my office area, I'm able to see my children when they're home with me, okay? I'm able to see my front door, and that's part of my lifestyle. So even when I'm not working, the area can quickly transition into a really nice seating area for friends and for guests because I work from home primarily. Even though I have work out in the field, so I may be in, D.C., maybe, Maryland, Virginia, but I work from home primarily. So that is where my office is. And it's really important for me to make sure that at the end of the day that I'm not, starving any one of those areas, whether it be, my family, my business, or just my wellness, so all of that. And even understanding how me working out, and getting back in that gym, that's a part of my business, even though, it's like, wait a minute, how can I be productive at the gym? What does that mean? But if I'm telling people that they need to be well, I need to make time for my wellness. And doing that, it's helping me personally, but it's also helping my business. Because first of all, how many of us know that we need to be strong, we need to, be fit and have the energy just to keep up with the kids, keep up with the business. And if, you're married, having enough energy to keep up with your spouse and doing fun things with your spouse, that kind of thing. So I help people really design a plan for their life and their business. And those that want a more purposeful life, because not every client I have is a business owner. Some are aspiring business owners. Some just want to really improve their brand. They may be in a career or work within an organization they're happy with. Maybe they want a promotion. Maybe they have a new job and they really want to be all that they can be. And they're feeling like, wait a minute, I'm good at what I do. I understand my job, but I really want to be more, balanced. I want to take up a new hobby. How can I do that? So I really help them design a lifestyle plan, a business plan, a more purpose-filled plan, what I call, the extraordinary life. Because I believe that God has designed us in a way to enjoy our life. He wants us to enjoy our life. And I don't think that many of us take advantage of that. So whether maybe a person wants to be able to sing, and no, you may not be on Broadway, but you can still sing. Maybe there's some things in the community. There's some strategic networking that you can do to be able to sing in your community or practice what you want to do in your community where you can be fulfilled. And it has nothing to do with your business, but you want to be more fulfilled. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I help my clients with.
Well, you said so much. So just life plan, life design. I heard career transition and enhancement, definitely the entrepreneur. But if you're not an entrepreneur and you're just a daily person who wants to live a quality life, you can seek mm-hmm. Sade Dennis. Sade, you are an entrepreneur. How has entrepreneurship affected your family life?
Oh, my goodness. That's a phenomenal question. On one hand, it's been fantastic because, first of all, when it comes to, let's say, something as simple as family vacation, well, I don't have to put any time in. I don't have to, you know, necessarily, you know, request time off. That isn't to say that I'm not accountable to my clients, because I do obviously coordinate with client schedules and all of that, but it's not like I'm asking for permission or anything like that. So that's been great. I'm able to be flexible. So if the children have any issues, they're sick or, you know, stomach ache or a doctor appointment or any of those kinds of things, I'm able to be there for them, okay? So it's been phenomenal. On the other hand, I would say the challenges are my oldest, you know, during this snowmageddon that we had recently, it had to be. I think I have had little people with me for like 10 days straight, okay? So with that, but then my oldest was like, well, Mommy is always on her computer, okay? And so I think sometimes what they think is that I'm always working, because if they're home early, I'm still working. And so, again, having my office area in an area that I'm able to have access to them and they have access to me, I'm there. And sometimes I'll let them sit at my desk and do homework while I'm at my desk, and we'll just, you know, have snacks or that kind of thing. But, you know, the challenge, I think, of entrepreneurs is knowing when to cut it off. Because especially, if you enjoy what you do, I mean, I can sit back and pop that laptop open and just be taken away with whether it be research or helping a client or whatever. I mean, and especially research. I mean, I can just be digging and digging and digging for resources and looking at new technologies and or researching for a particular topic. I mean, I love it. I have a client that's getting ready for a huge speaking engagement, and I was just sharing with her just some things that I think she needs to be mindful of, like the color she's wearing and the fabric, because sometimes certain, you know, just to, not to get too taken away, but just like certain fabric can do what they call moiré, which is kind of vibrate. And so if you're not careful, like certain tweeds, certain stripes can literally vibrate on camera. It's the weirdest thing. It's really hilarious, those kinds of things. So I said, well, you know what, had a little small break. Let me just get online and look at some things that I can just send her that she can, you know, perhaps look for or order online for her engagement. And, you know, I just enjoy doing it. But I have to know when to cut it off. You know, and that's the thing is, even when the kids are sleeping, you still have a spouse. I mean, and then even besides your spouse, you still have to be mindful that you got to pull back into yourself. And so even though I love what I do and there's so many fun aspects of what I do, I have to shut it down and do something that is totally unrelated to business, okay? Like watch crime shows, like, you know, documentaries, or you know, take a really long bath and something like that, or just spend time with my husband. You know, sometimes we like to listen to old school hip hop and just compare notes and laugh and chit chat. You know, we enjoy doing that, but that's the challenge, is really knowing when to cut it off. Because if my kids are saying, "Well, Mommy, you're always on your computer," you know, I think underneath all of that is a little bit of truth there, and this certainly is their perspective. Not realizing what they're saying, that they're home with me all week long, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Mommy's going to be working, okay? But still, in their little minds, you know, having to just be mindful of that. So I don't want them to always remember Mommy was always on a computer, you know? So those are some of the challenges. But I mean, overwhelmingly, though, I would say it's been a great thing, because my father would always tell me, he said, "Sade, there's so many great jobs out here, but true wealth is your own business," okay? And so that's what I always had in my mind, and that is what I am, I don't know if I would be striving for, but building, really building that financial empowerment. And again, and beyond the financial empowerment, when you think about life's work, sometimes your life's work may be within an organization. So I want to just, you know, want to be mindful of that. Everybody's not going to be an entrepreneur. Everybody's not going to have their own business, nor should they, because I think you can really make change within an organization. And we call that an intrapreneur. You know, an intrapreneur, kind of having the same entrepreneurial drive, but within an organization. You know, these high potentials are the ones that get selected for training and promotion, and they're doing great things in the world and helping people. There's really some fantastic, phenomenal organizations that help people, and we need, you know, good people in those roles. So no matter whether you're an entrepreneur or an intrapreneur, you know, you want to think about your life's calling, your life's work. And, again, it may be in either of those areas. You know, back to your question, those are definitely that's the pros and the cons, if you will, of being an entrepreneur.
I absolutely 150% relate. That is so me. And it is. I mean, I love what I do so much that I wish I could do it for free. But that's not reality. But being able to know that cutoff point is imperative because, you know, I keep going and going and going like the Energizer bunny. I have a question. This is something I'd really love to hear from you. What would you say are the top three skills needed to be a successful entrepreneur? Because I consider you successful.
Amen. The top three things, I would say, first of all, you need to be competent in what it is that you say you do. You want to be competent. You also need to, what you do needs to fill a gap. It needs to solve a problem. There needs to be a need for what you do. So necessary. So competent, necessary. And also, I would say confident. Because if you're not confident, you know, you're not going to be able to do any of those things. Those, to me, I would say because are like the top three. I've seen so many people talk about that they want to have their own business, whether it be for-profit or not-for-profit. It's interesting. I was at a meeting, and a young lady, this was a non-profit meeting of, like, non-profit leaders. So there were leaders who had been hired as executive directors, and then there were some who started their own nonprofits, okay? And from the ones who had been hired, some of these were like national organizations who had directors in particular, like regional branches that had budgets of, you know, $1 million or more, and some had budgets maybe $300,000 in that area, and some were just, you know, brand new or very local who had started their own business, $30,000 something a year. We kind of talked about just the various differences. And there was a young lady in the audience, and she mentioned that she's very passionate about prison ministry. And she goes and she ministers and what have you, and she really wants to start her own nonprofit. And we had such a vibrant dialogue. And what was interesting, it wasn't that the experts were sharing with her to not do her business, but, you know, we talk about going after funding, and this is with this particular example, and I'm going somewhere with this. You know, lots of nonprofits are going after the same dollar. And many times, there being so many nonprofits in a particular area can saturate, can overly saturate the need and the request for monies, okay? And they can be more damaged, they're more good for the particular cause because there's so much competition. And so the question was, well, you may be passionate, but are you competent? You know, if you don't know how to run a business, then maybe you need to volunteer at your local church. You can still be effective changing lives, but it doesn't mean you need to have your own business or your own nonprofit. But so many times people, oh, I want to have my own business, I want to have my own nonprofit, or whatever it is. But if you don't have the discipline or the competency to run it, you know, that's okay. You can still be very effective. Not everyone needs to be their own business owner and that kind of thing. And, again, when you think about, in particular with nonprofits, going after that dollar, the same dollar that would have, you can really muddy the waters. So you want to be mindful, again, of competency. And I talked about the need. So if there's no need, if you're not solving a problem, then what are you doing? I mean, is it just self-aggrandizement where, you know, hey, you know, I can sing and I want to be a singer. This is one lady, bless her heart. She's always volunteering her singing, okay? And from what I hear, she doesn't need to be doing that. Can I be real? And I'm thinking to myself, now, shouldn't you be invited? I mean, shouldn't there be a demand? I mean, if you have to invite yourself constantly and you're always putting yourself out there, and I get it, self-promotion is necessary times, okay, but there's no need. And there's maybe a need for singing, but not for hers. And so, and even besides that, I mean, we can have some little funny, but you've got to make sure that you're solving people's problems. There's got to be a need for your type of business. And sometimes people may not necessarily need your business, but they may want it. So whether it's a want or a need, okay, because oftentimes with customers and clients, they don't get what they need, they get what they want. But there has to be a demand. So if I were just to marry a want and a need together, the baby would be called a demand. It has to be demand. And, of course, confidence, because you have to have the confidence and you have to have faith in order to make it. You got to have some skin in the game because it is not for the weak of heart. Being an entrepreneur is not easy. It's like feast or famine. And so one of the things that I always share with business owners, something that I am in the process of now, is really systematizing business, okay, making sure that, as they say, you're making money even when you're asleep, and that is true. Taking what you do and systematizing, whether it be online courses or e-commerce, so this way your business does not depend on just you being there, being present, but that you have some systems in place, some mechanisms in place that can help churn out profit even when you are not physically there at the time of the transaction. So those things. So that will be my top three. So that'd be
wow.
Confidence. Yeah, a need and confidence. Yes, ma'am.
I have to say that was very well said. Very, very well said.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I do.
So your journey.
Because I can just go on and on and on. I love this stuff.
Oh. Well, through your journey here of entrepreneurship, who's been your greatest inspiration?
Huh. That is a great question. My greatest inspiration. My greatest. That is a really phenomenal question. You know, there's been a few. I would say, and let me start with this, where you can grow your mind and your thinking, I would say, first of all, my pastor, okay? My pastor helps us every single Sunday transform our minds and our thinking. And I would not say he's a business owner per se, but I would say he's helped my thinking. And I think that's where a lot of it starts. Two, I would say, I like to look at people who are diversified. So anyone from like an Oprah Winfrey, and I know we hear a lot about her, but when you really study Oprah Winfrey, taking models that were not there and creating, knocking down doors, collaborating, syndication, all of that. I'm still really eating off of that. I mean, there's so much that could be said about Oprah Winfrey. Again, helping us, you know, change our thinking, and then looking at the example in business. I would say more on a personal note, my parents, because my father was always involved in business. Now, he had a job, had a career, but I'm telling you, if he had a dollar for every business that he had, he'd be a millionaire, because he always had business going on, and business is my blood. And then for my mother, hard work, and I saw how she was diversified. She always taught me that I had to have a skill and that I had to have education, formal, you know, education, university education, and that I needed both. So in high school, I was doing hair. I was braiding in college, braiding hair and doing makeup and all of those kinds of things and working at some of the most exclusive salons in the Washington, D.C. area, meeting judges and lawyers and executives and being able to tell them that I was in school for marketing and that they needed an intern to let me know. So I was able to really parlay and translate my experience working with them from their with their makeup to working on projects with them. I mean, I cannot tell you the amount of times where, you know, I'd be in the green rooms or at VIP receptions as an invited guest and being able to really add value to my clients and having them invite me to projects and wanting me to be there and just sharing, you know, and not really lobbying at all, but just more the know, like, and trust factor. They would trust me with one area, small, you know, and thank God God found me faithful in little and would give me more. So I'm really pleased to share that, adding value and then trusting me with more, adding more value, and so forth. It's kind of like a snowball because people have to trust you. They can know they're going to trust your work and trust you at the table, knowing that you're not going to blow it, that you have the etiquette, the poise, and the stab, and the know-how, okay, and the competency, come on now, the competency to get the job done, and know that you will not embarrass them, but rather you will make them look good and do the good work and really play a part of the team. So I'm really proud of that and seeing that. But my mother believed in both. You have skill and education, and so my parents definitely are huge, huge. In fact, I should have mentioned them first, but I saved the best for last.
You know, you said a lot of empowering things just now, and, you know, without doing a whole repeat, but what your parents instilled in you, you know, having a skill and obtaining a formal education, I think that's very empowering. And, you know, it's a great way to look at the world and to look mm-hmm. at the system, because people get so tied up in a process and, you know, I think that just shares more about the diversity and the creativity that could bring. You, having a skill and you're building yourself and you're still doing your own business, but you have your formal education. I mean, it's just what I would call well-rounded and great common sense advice. I have a question that I'm really interested in knowing. What has been your most satisfying moment or experience since you've been in business?
I would say a couple things. One, I had a former employer that I really, really looked up to. And, you know, I started out working with her. I was the lowly marketing intern. And to have her come to me for advice now is amazing. So she's a big-time president of the organization. So that was very, very rewarding. And also to have my parents see me do my thing. My pastor talked about that one time. He was like, you know, for your parents to see you do your thing. And for those of us who have parents or mentors who are still alive and on this earth, for them to see what you do is truly a gift from God. To have them see you do your thing, whatever that thing is, whether you're in a movie or a play or acting or speaking or getting a promotion or whatever it is, that's truly rewarding, you know. And to have them come to you and say, hey, you know, what do you think about this or what do you think about that? That's great. And also my kids, when I see them, like, playing a game, and they want to be a business owner or they want to be an author, that kind of thing. And I just see them, you know, being like sponges and wanting to do the things that I'm doing. That's very rewarding, you know. So that's very, very rewarding for me.
Wow. So, Sade Dennis, the lifestyle and branding coach, Where do you see yourself in this particular business in the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh, great question. Where I see myself, I would say, is to still be helping people, but I would also, you know, when I talk about processes and systems, I'd like to see me creating more products that can help people do what they do better. I want to say products, information products, and I'd like to certainly be affecting the lives of more people in a way, in a more massive way, in other words. I really am developing my speaking business. You know, I'd like to be able to share, and I would have liked to have been able to share more, you know, and I know that God has called me to be on a grand stage. So those of us that know that too much is given, much is required, I'm just girding myself up, going, you're learning as much as I can on this journey and preparing myself for all that he has called me for. And, you know, you've got to know that God has called you to something, because this is not about vanity. This is about having the fulfillment of knowing that you're doing what God called you to do. So that's what I'm doing, getting ready for the partay, if you will, but to definitely positively affect lives, you know, in a major way.
Wow. Now, we're concluding at this point, and I have one final question. If you were conducting this interview, is there a question that I did not ask that you would want to ask yourself?
Huh. Great question.
Just want to make sure I cover all bases. You are a phenomenal woman. You're a phenomenal business owner.
Thank you. You have been so comprehensive. I mean, you have been very comprehensive. I've just enjoyed talking with you. I really, really have. I really have enjoyed talking with you. I think you did a marvelous job. I mean, you know, and I just want to say this. You are doing so much to help the community, lifting people up, showcasing people, giving people the opportunity. You know, when I worked with one of your fellow co-hosts, she just shared how you really empowered her and really pushed her to the greatness. You saw something in her, and you just held her hand and took her all the way, you know.
Wow.
I mean, I just applaud you for what you're doing. I mean, you are like a midwife, if you will. You are pulling people up and pushing them out and empowering them. You know, and a lot of people can't say that. You are really sharing your stage, if you will. That's major. So let me just applaud
you.
I want to use time to share how phenomenal you are.
Okay, well, I can't imagine how much that means to me, especially coming from someone like you. Well, I have a little surprise. We've just gotten pretty habitual with giving things to people who come on the show. So what we would like to do, we would like to make a donation in the amount of $100 to your art exhibit program. I know that you're talented. You're doing artwork. So we just, you know, and we don't get an opportunity enough here on this particular show to recognize the gifted artists. So here's an opportunity. We just like to donate $100 to your art projects, buy supplies, maybe, you know, be able to share artwork, whatever you need to do. Okay?
Oh, my, that is so helpful. Thank you.
You're
so
very
awesome. Oh my
now,
God,
you know I know
so
you personally. Can I just PayPal you that?
Hey, that is fine. That is so awesome. That is so,
okay.
And my daughter, you know, I'm going to be speaking at her school. Mommy, can you bring some artwork? So I definitely have. That is awesome. Thank you so much. That is
a problem.
Awesome. We are very grateful for that.
It's a privilege and honor. You've supported me. You have helped in many ways that I don't even think that you can imagine. And, you know, we want to serve the community. So you take it and, you know, have fun. And, you know, if you care to, you can share about with us what happened. If you're bringing the artwork to the school,
I'd
if you could take
to.
A picture and just share with
I'd
us so
to.
That we would love to give you more recognition in that arena.
That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Thank
well,
you.
Thank
you. Know, because I definitely like to blend the two. This is awesome. Thank you.
Not a problem. Well, tonight, everyone, you have heard from Sade Dennis, the lifestyle branding coach. Before we conclude, Sade, can you please let everyone know how they can get in contact with you if they're interested in your coaching, your services, your art, your photography, and all the other wonderful things? How can they learn about you? How can they connect with you? How can they become clients?
Awesome. Well, everything can be found on my website, which is www.sadedennis.com. So that's S like in Sam, A, D as in David, E, Dennis.com. All one word, sadedennis.com. They can find out all the info that they need to get in contact with me or how to work with me and all the other amazing things.
Awesome. So please listen out for our replay link, which will be posted on our social media forum. Just go to your search box on Facebook and put in Victorious Radio Communications, and we'll also be sharing the replay link with Sade Dennis, who I'm sure will post in the appropriate forums. Thank you, Sade, so much for coming on to the show. We have to give you another round of applause. You're welcome.
I love that.
Yes, knowledge, strength, energy, empowerment, fortitude is what I got from tonight's show. And in honor of tonight's show, I'm going to share our closing thought. We're going to share a quote tonight from Dr. Steve Maraboli. You were put on this earth to achieve your greatest self, to live out your purpose, and to do it courageously. If you need help doing that, contact Sade Dennis. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight and listening and laughing and loving with us. Until we meet again, may we all move forth in peace and with blessings and love. Good night, Sade.
Good night, Victoria. Thank you again. Appreciate you.
You're very welcome. Good night.